Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I am Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, sitting in, as usual, for Ewan Rankin. And this is a very special episode of The Big Show because we have fresh meat. I mean, we have a new person on the panel. Tom, how are you?
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for that nice, warm welcome. And we'll see how great it is that I'm joining. We can reevaluate that at the end of the show.
Well, my assumption is that the reevaluating part will all be on your end.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, it's good to be here. Thanks.
Well, it's great to have you. And as long as we have you here and no one else has started talking yet, tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Oh, okay. I live in Santa Clara County. Some of you know that as Silicon Valley. I was born and raised here. And I recently retired. I worked in the semiconductor industry, you know, chips, all that fun stuff, for about, oh my God, almost 40 years. And so I'm a recently retired person and I'm enjoying the life of leisure.
That's awesome. And you're taking time out of your busy retirement days to hang out with us. So that's really cool.
That's right. You know, it was either this or sit and read a newspaper. So I thought I'd join the show.
Yes. And Patrice is pointing out in the chat room that you're actually the perfect kind of person to join the show because you actually know stuff. And yeah, I can't argue with that.
That's a nice compliment. Thanks, Patrice.
I know stuff.
Yeah, well, you know,
just not relevant for this show.
Well, it was bound to happen. At some point, we'd get someone on that actually knows what they're talking about. And so here we are. Rich, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Jeff. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you here. And as always, I appreciate your shirts.
Thank you. Do you know what? I'm a bit annoyed because I have bought some more recently and then I've got a warm one you've seen already.
That's okay. This is how you build up the anticipation.
I know, right? I'm spending altogether too much time thinking about when I wore what t-shirt where.
And that don't kind of you thing. Have a spreadsheet for that?
I nearly thought of making one the other day. It did enter my head. Like, I should just keep a list and then I could put them in order in the wardrobe and then see, too much.
I know. If you have to work too hard for it, then it's not fun anymore.
Exactly. I think I might just switch to jumpers and just have done with it.
Oh, yeah. And I actually know what that means.
Yeah.
So a jumper in the United States is, it's, you put little kids in them. And okay. they're sort of like overalls.
Right.
No.
Not like the British style jumpers. Yeah. So anyhow, I was able to picture you in a jumper correctly for context and not in the way where I would need therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. They're usually wool. If they get a bit sportier, then it becomes a sweatshirt. That's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jumpers are generally woolier, maybe knitted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Usually a bit too big to you. That kind of thing.
When I was a kid, my mum would knit your jumpers for you.
That's it. Wool.
And then two kids, we'd all go over, two kids, we put our jumpers down. So we'd all put jumpers down. Jumpers for goalposts, play football. There we go.
So that voice, the voice of the son of a jumper maker, is Muller, and you haven't been on for quite a while because you've had stuff going on and you got sick for a little while, and here you're back, and very likely against my better judgment. I was like, sure, come on. How are you?
Well, I've got a heart condition now, so that's brilliant. So
I'm glad that it was caught before it became something that that left you dead.
Well, actually, it happened about 2 or 3 years ago. I was with you, and one day, you must remember it. We were at a beer festival, and I got one, and he was going, I told him to go to hospital. He won't go to hospital.
I do remember that.
And it's happened again, but it's intermittent. It's weird. But on the good thing, I'm a volunteer for the Commonwealth Games.
Okay, so first, what are the Commonwealth Games?
Well, remember when Britain ruled the world?
Yeah, yeah. For some people, well, the good old days. For other people, not so much. But yes, I remember.
Well, then they just call it the Commonwealth. We don't rule them, but they all come and play games, and they go across the Commonwealth. And this year, it was supposed to be in India, but India, for some reason, couldn't do it or didn't want to do it. Birmingham went, where I live, went, oh, we'll do it. And we've done it. And I applied and I got a place, and I'm driving VIPs, which is weird.
Okay, so that answers my second question. What exactly do you do as a volunteer? And I was picturing several things, like someone didn't show up for this one event. Okay, now you have to go do it instead. Or can you take coffee to these people or things like that?
Maybe throw the javelin. Yeah.
Now, there's 40,000, there's 14,000 volunteers over lots and lots of jobs. My particular job is driving.
All right. So, and you get to drive the VIPs. So they're not doing background checks, is what I'm hearing.
I don't know, but there's five different driving jobs. I'm part of what they call Fleet, which has 1,400 volunteers. The scale of it is out. It's gobsmacking, beyond if you know. I don't suppose you'll see any of it in the US, but come on,
probably not. I mean, I hadn't even heard of it until you started talking about it.
That's kind of weird to me. It's a big deal. It's a big thing.
Our Canadian neighbors are familiar with it, so sometimes we get a bit of it on television.
It's called the Empire Games.
Yeah, that's just a bit
that's,
too
that's
dark.
Bad optics.
It doesn't look good these days.
But obviously, since the Second World War, it's gone a little bit quiet on that.
Yeah, good call on the branding team to change the name.
It did ruin it for everybody, didn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
Sorry about all that, by the way, the world.
Yeah. Is that an official apology to the world, Rich?
It happens so often, honestly. There are so many places you go on holiday, and you'll be on a tour somewhere, and it will always. And this is where British people slaughtered thousands of innocent people. Okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah. It comes up so often.
Could I just intercept? The US aren't exactly innocent on the imperial front.
Yeah, I was going to say we're slightly familiar with that feeling, Rich.
Yeah.
European, American, whatever. We all did it. It's just white privilege.
Oh, we did it so well, though, to an embarrassing degree. We were too good at it, you know.
Is it too soon to say we learned it from you?
Oh, well, probably you did, but. I mean, the fact is, we're such a small country. How the hell did we manage to do it?
With forms and middle management and that sort of thing. That's how we did it.
Oh, my God. It all makes sense now.
We middle managed our way to world superiority. That was, yeah. we organized stuff well. And that we had spectacular so boats and
we just
smashing
tied
uniforms.
Up in red tape.
Yes.
You guys seem polite, but apparently not always polite.
Well, middle management.
Oh, yeah, middle management.
That's
it. Right. Yeah.
That's what we did.
I'm never polite.
We did it with admin.
Yeah, that just really, really makes so many things in world history clear to me now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, as long as we're here and we finish sorting out world politics, who would like to toss out the first story? And we could all just sit here and look at Mueller, knowing Mueller doesn't actually have a story today because we roped him in at the last minute.
There you go.
All right. So Rich has one for us.
Something a little out of left field. That is that almost apt? I don't know anything about football. EA have lost the FIFA gaming license. Wow. And this is huge. FIFA, EA have been making the FIFA game for, well, nearly 30 years, which is quite a long time, to be fair. You know, it's what I remember waiting for the new FIFA game when I was at school. And they've lost the license. They're not going to be making it anymore. They're just going to be making what will be called EA Sports FC. Which they have partnerships with individual teams and individual footballers, but now the whole overarching license is gone. And I will assume we'll go to somebody else, but I have no idea who at this point, but it's going to be worth some money to whoever takes it. It's a franchise I kind of gave up on a while ago. I'm not a big football fan, but I quite like playing a football computer game. Mm-hmm. For some reason. And it was always, you know, it was fine. And then they kind of just made it all about, it's famous for its microtransactions and it's getting kids to spend thousands of mum and dad's credit card dollars on magical loot boxes that may contain the footballer you want to add to your team, or you may need to spend another $20,000 to get that one and that kind of thing. That's what it's known for. And I think
that's, so it's like real sports.
Kind of like real sports, but with your dad's credit card. So not as sustainable and with a lot more inflammatory news articles that come with it, as you would expect. And it wouldn't surprise me if that kind of thing is just, they've reached the point at FIFA where this is not making us look good. Our video game has gambling in it. And maybe it's time somebody else had a go. And so
think of the billions of dollars that EA is going to lose. Holy
they God. Are. This is, yeah, this is a big, big, big deal for them. It's not the license I wanted them to lose. I'd like it if they lost the Star Wars license and let somebody else make a Star Wars game. That would be good. But failing that, I suppose this is a start. They've become quite a monolith in gaming that it's sort of impossible for someone else to get a look in now. And they aren't handling the position they're in well, and they aren't treating gamers with all that much respect, to be honest. They're good at creating that quick dopamine hit and getting money out of you, and that's not a great or sustainable business model, and this is kind of the beginning of it falling down, I think.
Is EA dominant in the sport games or in all games?
Very much to sport games. And the couple of other big licenses that they've got. So, you know, they're the only people who can make Star Wars games. And that's one of those things that any game you make, if you can just put the word Star Wars on it, there's a best-selling game, you know. But the sports franchises they've got, you know, Madden is huge. That's absolutely enormous. And then FIFA as well. I think they might have just lost the NHL one. Now I think about it, because they always made the ice hockey game as well. And I think that might be going elsewhere.
Yeah, Madden is huge in the US especially. It's probably the most dominant sports game in the US.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's another one that they've had for 30 years. Current management at EA is not doing well, but I don't know. I think they weren't they just bought by somebody?
I don't know. Like
Microsoft EA bought by Microsoft.
And we know how that works out for gaming companies, you know, when Microsoft buys them.
Well, I don't know if we talked about that. That was a great move on the part of Phil Spencer when they had a lot of accusations of sexual harassment and toxic workplace environments and that kind of thing at EA. And at the time, Nintendo made a statement and said, you know what, we're not going to work with EA anymore until they sort this out. And Sony put out the same statement, and everyone looked at Microsoft and Phil Spencer and said, well, and he said, hang on a minute, I'll sort this. And then the next day it was announced, Microsoft buys Electronic Arts, fires all the management. And he was like, there you go, we'll sort it.
Problem solved. Microsoft.
Problem solved. That's it. And that was it. So I don't know. They'll still be doing okay because they're now owned by Microsoft, who are you know, they're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Right.
And certainly won't be losing too much sleep over the loss of the FIFA license themselves. You know, I'm sure Satya Nadella might get an email. I don't know. Probably not. So they'll be fine. But I'm now interested to see what will come up next and who will get that license.
Well, apparently, here's my prediction. My prediction is that your story next week will be FIFA announces deal with Epic.
Epic. Interesting. Could be Epic. Maybe Sega. They've done it before, I think. Or they've done football games before. So
who else is big in sport games?
Well, not really anyone because of EA.
Right.
I mean, the only other sort of group that comes to mind is you had Codemasters, who were big in sort of all the driving games and that kind of thing, but then EA bought them. So it's the last year or two has been a big mess of Sony and Microsoft buying nearly everyone.
Yeah, and I'm consolidation kind of, everywhere, yeah.
A lot of that, and it's hard to really keep track of who owns what now, and it's all, you know, it's all homogenizing down into just two or three big companies, but it is what it is. Hey, we argued with Microsoft for having no exclusives for the Xbox One, and they took it to heart and went and bought every gaming studio and went there.
That makes it a lot easier to have exclusives.
Clearly don't challenge Phil Spencer in some way, because he's going to come back at you with something insane. I'd have him work for me. I really would. He was a good get there over at Microsoft, I think.
I wonder if the price that Microsoft paid for EA would have been affected if Microsoft knew they were going to lose FIFA.
I wonder. I don't know.
EA's been around forever. I can remember buying EA games on 3.5-inch, 3.25 floppies.
Oh God, yeah.
I think they're local to me. I think EA is headquartered in San Mateo, just up the road here.
I know they're in California, so yeah, they're probably close to you. I remember having EA games for the Apple II on 5.25-inch floppies.
Wow. Yeah. So they've been around forever.
On cassette back in the day. On
cassette.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mahler was getting them on punch cards.
I can do that. Yeah.
Paper tape.
Cassettes were great. Half an hour for maybe a game to load. It might. Let's see. That was so much fun.
All right. So since you're talking about cassettes and we're supposed to be the British Tech Network, I'm going to totally tie all that together for you right now. So the whole thing with being able to download apps is a thing that started by chance in the UK. And there was this guy that was doing a radio show, and so this is back when cassettes were state of the art for storing computer programs. And since it's just sounds, he realized, I can tell people, start your tape recorder now, and I can play the sound stream. That's the code for an application. And so he did that. First thing he did, it was like around Christmas time, and he wrote this application that displayed a reindeer on your screen and said Merry Christmas. And all the people that listened to the radio show, he said, okay, here's where we're going to start this. So start your players now. And then you just heard these tones, you know, boop, 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 or whatever. And that ran for a couple minutes and then ended. And he's like, okay, now you have your program.
Yeah.
Amazing.
All these people sitting at home with a cassette recorder recording software over the air. It's great.
It was wonderful. And you could copy games with just a tape-to-tape stereo. That was it.
So I remember where you could copy games over radio waves. One of these people that used to be into a radio, and you could dig across the air and you could copy them. Download a decent program, but there you go.
Yep, good times. All right, so since we got all the way from EA and FIFA to playing the code for computer programs over radio waves, I think it's time for our next story. And since Mueller showed up late and doesn't actually have anything, Tom, you are now on the spot.
Okay. So my story is it's not totally new. It's a little bit old, a few months old. And it's a semiconductor related story. There's a company called Cerebras, and they are a bunch of CPU designers. And they have released what is called a wafer scale CPU. So a wafer is a big disk that is usually about 12 inches across, 12 inches in diameter. And normally what you do is you fabricate on a wafer a whole bunch of chips. So if you have like an M1 chip, you stamp out, you know, 300 or 400 of them on a single wafer and you process them all together. And what Cerebras has done is basically develop a kind of a single CPU by utilizing the entire wafer as a single device. So, you know, with like the M1 Ultra, the way they package it, they took a couple of M1s or four M1s and put them in a single package and connected them. And they have, you know, 2 gigabyte interfaces or 20 gigabyte gigabits per second interfaces. But these guys have taken that to an extreme. So on a single wafer, they have a device which is focused on sort of tensor processes for AI application. And that single wafer has 850,000 cores. 850,000 cores. So, you know, on your M1 Ultra, what do you get? 2 die, 4 die, and each die has whatever, 4 or 8 CPUs with some GPUs. This has 850,000. It also has on-chip memory. And on this wafer, they have 40 gigabytes of memory on that as well. And it's huge, you know, it's about 46,000 millimeters square. So about 20 centimeters on a side. And the people that started this company are all old timers in CPU design. They worked at places like Sun, AMD, and Intel. And of course, it's not going to come to your PC anytime soon. You know, instead of having a little square package of about an inch on a side, we're talking about, you know, 8.5 inches on a side. So this is clearly designed for very special applications. But it's a really great example of in semiconductor with sort of the slowing down of Moore's law and fit running into the walls of physics, you can still make some pretty incredible gains by being innovative. And they released this, I think about a year ago or sometime in the last 9 months, but they actually are shipping hardware and they have some customers that are doing some applications with it, some very, very intense AI applications. So I thought this would be interesting, not from the point of view that you're going to go to Cerebras and go buy a 12-inch CPU and plug it into your Mac or anything, but it gives you an idea of sort of taking the Apple idea of taking multiple dies into a package to an extreme. And maybe sometime in the future, instead of talking about 8 or 16 cores on your PC, you're going to be talking about maybe thousands of cores. And just imagine what you can do with that.
I'm pretty sure, Mueller, that the AI chip that's inside you just started failing because you sound like a Cylon.
Yeah. So clearly packaging that wafer and putting it on a board to make it useful it's probably going to generate a ton of heat. And normally these kind of devices have active cooling, you know, liquid nitrogen or whatever, or Freon of some sort to cool them. But yeah, certainly power is a huge problem. But it's not a whole lot different than, you know, in a data center where you have thousands and thousands of CPUs on separate die.
Patrice has an awesome question in the chat room. How many watts does that CPU need? I'm assuming when you hit the power switch, the lights in like a 5-block radius will go.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it's basically a data center on a wafer.
This is incredible. I mean, I just want one. I have absolutely no use for that whatsoever. Like, I nothing I could do with that, but I want something with 850,000 cores because I kind of want to see just how fast it would compress one of my YouTube videos.
Right.
Definitely
replace your heat. I mean, I know it's a bit like using a sledgehammer to crack a walnut, but, you know, I just want to see it do it. Wow.
Yeah, it can rip your DVDs and keep your house warm at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. I bet it will still use less power than the new NVIDIA graphics cards, though, so it'll be fine.
That seems like a safe bet.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, with the new NVIDIA graphics cards, they actually have a port that you open up to pour gasoline in, because it has to have a separate internal combustion engine. That's where it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And wow. Now Patrice is saying, how many of these did Apple order? And that's actually, yeah.
Yeah, I think the target application is people that are doing massive AI applications, and instead of going to Amazon and buying, you know, a compute farm, you know, this would be an alternative that you could do on premise. And I'm sure they're talking to cloud providers like Amazon and Microsoft and Google about putting these in their data center as a, you know, a high-end option for people that are going to need to do that kind of AI crunching.
Well, considering the state of the S-Lady, what I'm hoping is that Apple pulled up with like an F-150 pickup truck and said, just fill the whole bed. There's more. Just keep putting more in. More in, because
I'm with you. Siri is useless. The other day I was listening to a podcast and I had my AirPods in, and I said, hey Siri, skip ahead 1 minute. And the response I got was, I'm working on it.
I'll put speaking of the works here, these things are big, aren't they? Are they big?
Yeah, they're.
Yeah, they're 20 centimeters across.
Well, the wafer itself is about 12 inches in diameter. So it's like a phonograph record.
Basically, if there's any fault on what in any part of it, it's trash.
They tend to build in redundancy, Muller, for that reason, because you don't get 100% yield. So they tend to put in some redundancy. And you're right. If they have a wafer and it's got, the wafer probably has, you know, instead of 850,000 CPUs, it probably has a million CPUs. And then as they test it, the ones that are broken, they shut off, but they can still ship it. You know, it's like memory. When you buy when they ship a memory device, a DRAM, for example, not every cell in that DRAM works. So as they're manufacturing it and shipping it, they mark the ones that aren't working and turn them off and use the ones that are working. But yeah, it's much more difficult on a full wafer.
So Tom, I have to point out that you're getting unsolicited compliments. So Ewan has had time to tune in and watch some of the show, and he's pointing out that you, sir, are an absolute professional.
Thank you. Thanks, Ewan.
Yeah, part of that includes the fact that you actually made your bed, but still, absolute professional.
I have to admit.
Oh, Mueller. Oh, I didn't notice. Oh.
The trick, Mueller, is to get your wife to make the bed like I do.
See, is there a cat in that bed as well?
The cat.
I thought there was a cat, yeah.
There'd be a dead body in there.
See, this is part of how Ewan is so awesome. Even when he can't actually be here, he can still toss something out to set up an awesome routine like that. So that was great. All right. So I suppose we should move on to my story. And my story is about Windows 11, apparently everyone's favorite operating system. So here's the deal. Microsoft is telling people that if you installed the Windows 11 update that came out on April 25th, and it's a cumulative update that they rolled out, you might want to roll back to the operating system state before that update, because there's a lot of stuff in the .NET framework that they killed.
Ooh.
Which means that applications that are relying on those elements in the .NET framework doesn't work anymore.
What date was that update?
That was from April 25th.
Don't want to fix two of them. One of them was Halo. Halo was completely balked. I installed it, and it's actually working again now.
So, Muller, I'm pretty sure that your voice synthesizer unit in your head is running Windows 11 with this update that breaks your .NET framework, because you're... And just so you know, you're the only person I have met that has this problem. So I'm curious, like, the fillings that are in your teeth, what metal did they use? Because I'm wondering if it's causing some sort of interference with the Bluetooth signals around you and the Wi-Fi signals, or if they're actually just radioactive and the radiation that's coming out of your head is damaging the chips. I don't know.
Well, it's a M1 Mac Mini with Apple headphones. And anyway, what I'm saying is I think they fixed it, because Halo wasn't working for me, and it started working again today.
Oh, okay. Maybe they rolled out an update that rolled everyone back.
Well, you know, a ton of applications use the .NET framework, especially big, like, business applications.
Yeah, and this doesn't break everything in the .NET framework. It's just specific elements. And so if you're using an app that doesn't rely on any of the broken parts of the framework, you'd have no idea that something was wrong. But for everyone that does, well, there you go. So
now you know why so many big enterprise companies have not migrated from Windows 10 to 11 yet.
Right. Yeah. Or in some cases from XP even.
That's why I'm on Windows 8, Jeff.
See, it's because you appreciate the .NET framework problems.
That's right. I saw this coming.
I still don't know what the point of Windows 11 was. I'm waiting for it any minute now. We keep asking and Microsoft keeps shrugging. It's got a bigger number on it. I don't know.
I was just looking at buying a Dell computer, and most of them that you buy, the default is still Windows 10, and you have to click a button if you want it loaded with Windows 11. So even Dell is pretty squeamish about it.
It's not that it's bad or doesn't work as such. I mean, it works. I get my work done on it. It doesn't crash, that sort of thing. But it's not nice. It's not better than it was, or it's just different, and it's full of annoyances, as I have talked about at length.
Patrice has what looks to me to be a very plausible hypothesis in the chat room. She says, Windows 11 was the attempt to copy macOS. It just turned out to be a bad copy.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah. Yep. I think that fits. So anyhow, my story isn't big. More like a PSA and a question about, seriously, Microsoft, you knew you were rolling out this update that actually did this, and you're okay with that. And now you're telling people, oh, actually, maybe you shouldn't have installed the update that we told you to install.
I wonder what's happening in the QA department at Microsoft this week. It was probably a bad week.
Yeah, they're probably updating resumes and and security updates on their M1 Max. That's my guess.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So anyhow, my story wasn't that big. Patrice is pointing out someone is having a really bad week, and yep, they are. But you know who is not having a bad week? That's us. First, because Tom's here, but then second, because TSO Host is our sponsor, which is totally awesome. TSO Host is the company that's giving us the server space and the bandwidth we need to be able to stream shows to you every week and to have a place to host those shows, because they're a hosting company. So of course they have the place for us to host. And that means that if you don't have the time or the luxury to be able to join us live, then there's a place for those shows to live. So you can go and watch or listen whenever it is that you want to, which is really great. So what they're asking of us is super easy. Just head on over to social media, give them a shout out, and thank them for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Because seriously, we would not be here without their generous support. So we have to thank them for that, because, you know, it's the least we can do. Now, if by chance you need to buy a domain name, or you need to have some hosting, or maybe you need both, they can take care of you, since that's what they do. So you can buy your domain names through them, you can do your hosting through them, and you can get a discount on that when you use the discount code BTN20 when you get all signed up. So please feel free to do that, but especially give them a shout out on social media and thank them for being here. And thank you, TSO Host, for being our sponsor. All right, it is now time to do some cool things. And Tom, since I started introductions with you, are you ready to do a cool thing, or do I need to come back to you?
I'm ready.
Awesome. And see, once again, the one true professional here, you showed up with a bed made, a story ready, and a cool thing.
I got all the bases covered.
You do.
Okay. So my cool thing is, I was a little bit hesitant to do this because I might seem like a bit of a Luddite, but my cool thing is the Mondo Elite Classic. It's a internet radio, clock radio, that I use for the nightstand. And I know these aren't probably the most popular things anymore, because people can just use their phone with the Bluetooth speaker or whatever. But for the nightstand, I find that if I want to listen to the radio or podcast as I go to sleep, and I'm kind of a news junkie. I listen to radio all the time. I listen to podcasts all the time. And it's just so cumbersome to try to do all that with a phone, you know, when you're lying in bed. So the Mondo Classic looks like a kind of a classic, you know, clock radio, except it's internet enabled. And the thing I like about it is it's got presets. So if I'm laying in bed, I can just hit a button and switch from, you know, NPR to BBC, or punch up a podcast. I've actually had a Wi-Fi radio for a long time. The original one I had was a Logitech that I bought like 10 years ago, and it finally crapped out. The Wi-Fi crapped out. So about a year ago, I needed a new one. So I got the Mondo Elite Classic. It's from a company I think they're down in Camarillo in Southern California. And it's a pretty nice unit. It's a little bit cumbersome to get set up in terms of getting your podcast loaded and so on. You kind of have to do that through a web interface. But once you get it set up, it works. It's pretty easy to use, just push buttons and, you know, you have all the normal clock radio functions of 100 different kinds of alarms. And you can listen to, like I said, any stream, any audio stream that you want. You can listen to noises if you have, you know, white noise if you have a hard time getting to sleep. And yeah, as Mueller says, you can use smart speakers. And the problem I have with those is the control. You know, I don't want to pull out my phone and open the app and hit the button. You know, I have a hard time doing that, and my my wife, who's laying in bed asleep, doesn't appreciate me doing that. So I know it's not the most advanced geeky thing, but I use the heck out of it.
It does have a fun, cool retro look too. And yeah, as looking at the specs, it has audio in and out. So if you had bigger speakers you wanted to run or to drive with this, well, there you go.
Yeah, and it's also got Bluetooth in both directions. And it has, believe it or not, a headphone jack. You remember headphone jacks? So if I'm lying in bed and want to listen to something, my wife does not want to listen to it, I can put in a pair of earbuds.
Which also means you can get higher fidelity because yes, the audio isn't compressed like it is going over Bluetooth.
That's exactly right. It sounds a heck of a lot better than Bluetooth.
Okay. Despite Mueller's comment about, have you heard of smart speakers? This is actually really cool.
And it's about $250. I'm not sure if you can get it outside the US. I apologize if you really love it and you can't get it.
Well, if it's not available outside the United States, not a problem. The Commonwealth can just absorb us back in again, and then it's available. Problem solved.
Not now.
That's right.
No.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, Rich.
You can't get it on Amazon, actually. It's my Google search has taken me to Amazon.com. I do apologize. It does that to me so often. I have another.
Well, answer. I do. I am available for international shipping. So if you're dying to get one, buy one and ship it to you. I do have experience with that.
Do you have to sing a song? Hey, Mando. Mando. Da, 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 hey, Mando.
Yeah, the name Mondo. I'm not sure what they were smoking there when they came up with that name, but it's kind of a goofy name.
Yeah, I think they were just confused, and they thought they were Star Wars fans, and it turns out no, they didn't even know how to say Mando. Anyhow, Rich, what's yours? Your pick?
I put a link in the chat room. This is the DJI, wireless microphone systems for smartphones, cameras, and everything else with holes in that you can plug microphones into. So, a little while ago, I started looking into sort of microphone systems to go work with your iPhone to sort of augment filming outside and out and about and that sort of thing. The microphone on an iPhone is pretty good for video, but you can do a lot better with minimal effort. And I started looking into all these different wireless microphone systems and eventually came across this one, which wasn't out until recently, and it's still showing up as out of stock at Amazon. So I don't know if you can actually get your hands on these yet. But everyone was so excited about these. These were meant to be just so much better than what was out there before. And what was out there before wasn't bad. I mean, there was stuff by Rode who do a lot of various portable microphone stuff that you'll have heard of. But this is basically, it comes in this neat little box from a company called DJI, who make lots of pro-level video drone stuff and camera gimbals, that kind of thing. And it's basically two clip-on microphone packs with a receiver box that fit in this wonderful, nice, neat little recharging box, a bit like AirPods. Everything goes in there and gets charged up. And it basically gives you two high-quality, wearable microphones that connect to this little receiver box, which in itself is a complete recording system, but it can also output to your iPhone or to your camera or whatever else you're shooting with, so you can get really good sound while you're a long way away from your iPhone, which is really what I was looking for.
That's actually really cool.
And a pretty good price for that, right?
Yeah, they're competitive. All the other packs were sort of the same sort of price, £289 here. So yeah, it's something I might well be looking into in the near future because they have a good reputation. There are already reviews of them on YouTube and everyone is completely enamored with them. So that might be the way to go.
There's a guy, there's a YouTuber called Techmo, and he uses them and he's reviewed them as well, if you're looking up.
He's done them on Techmo. Okay.
Yeah, he's used them for a long time and they are quite good. I mean, they're a bit expensive for what I want to use, but
that he's using. For what they are, that's actually a really good price.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He actually stood about 300 meters away from something and still could be heard. Wow. So they are good.
Well, it's interesting that DJI is getting into these kind of products. I mean, it's all that core technology for the drones is kind of fits this application too.
It does. I mean, if you want to do like a shot with a drone coming in and you're talking to the camera, right, you need a microphone system for that. It does fit in. And they make little action cameras, kind of GoPro-y, that kind of thing, gosh, it's basically just a lens on a box and very little else. But yeah, they make lots of rugged outdoor pro video stuff. It all looks pretty good. Ooh, and a robot. Hang on. I might need that. Anyway, sorry.
Does anybody really ever need a robot?
I accept it's more a question of want than need, but still.
Yeah, still, that's very cool. All right, so Muller, do you have a cool thing for us?
I posted it already, but...
I see, you did. Yours was Make MKV.
Yeah, I bought a Blu-ray for my PC. I mean, this is a cross-platform thing, and it's a bit basic, but it absolutely works brilliantly. So you can rip a Blu-ray and it rips all the different bits and pieces. It puts all it's really a good piece of software. It's quite sorry, I got there. It's the files are quite large. You can use other software to make them smaller, but it's definitely it's great. I mean, I've seen other software that was, they were asking for £100, £200. This is £56. And you can use it for a month before you have to pay. So it's my recommendation if you need a Blu-ray ripper.
And you said multi-platform. I see that's Windows, Mac, and Linux.
Yep.
Nice. Okay. Cool. All right.
How's the user interface, Muller? Is it pretty easy to use?
It actually, the first time I used it, I crashed and burned. The second time I used it, I actually figured it out. And once you get your head around it, it's quite easy to use. There's not an awful lot about it. It's very, very basic in its interface. But once you get your head around it, it's easy. It's a bit Linuxy or Unixy.
Their website looks like it's from 1998. Very basic but simple.
Yeah, it is, and the software is very much like that. It's very small, but it does the job, and it works on Windows. It works on my Windows 11 PC. I haven't got a Blu-ray in my for Mac, so I can't trust it on Mac. But I presume it would work just as easy if you got a Blu-ray that will work with the Mac. I've only got a DVD for that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it works, actually. I must plug it in and find out if it works.
You know, Muller, I actually keep a one of Apple's SuperDrive DVD boxes sitting around because it's about twice a year, either I end up needing it or I have a friend that needs to borrow it so that they can read something. So, yeah.
It's I've got a super drive around here somewhere. I don't know what it is. It's around here somewhere.
Yeah. But so I guess what I'm saying is you don't need to buy a drive. You just need to be friends with someone who has one.
The super drive isn't Blu-ray though, is it?
No, it's DVD.
No.
Yeah,
I mean they're quite expensive, but I got a secondhand one somewhere. So,
Did Apple ever put a Blu-ray drive in anything?
No,
it never happened, did it?
It did not. And I'm trying to remember if that's the drive or the technology that Steve Jobs called a bag of hurt?
It was. Blu-ray's a bag of hurt. And they were on the board.
Yeah, well.
Like, yeah. We'll make a phone call, Steve. What do you want from us?
Yeah, well, apparently less bag or less hurt in the bag. I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
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 Part of the problem with Blu-ray was it was designed by committee, right?
Absolutely. It was, yeah, horrible thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So my pick isn't going to cost you any money, because, or at least not now, because currently there's no plans to actually produce this, but I'm hoping that changes. And this is a Pikachu wireless charger for MagSafe iPhones. So it's Pikachu and he's got his little hands like this. And so you drop your iPhone down in any, cuddles your phone and charges it for you. And oh my God, it's Pikachu charging your phone.
Wow. That's adorable.
I know. It's just absolutely wonderful. The one thing that concerns me about this is when you watch the video on the page where they show it turning, the cord is his butthole.
I would have
picked a different place to put the cord, but you know, that's just me.
Maybe on the base, not it was ours.
But you know, this was a one-off thing, and you know, when they finally get around to having enough people say, please make this and sell it, I'm sure they'll move the cord. Bob Beach in the chat room saying, what's a Pikachu? Well, Patrice is going Pika Pika. So Bob Beach, Pikachu is a Pokemon character.
I would order one of those now if I could.
Same. I have absolutely no need for it, and I don't care. I would buy the crap out of this thing right now.
I need a Pikachu charging my phone on my desk. That is incredible. That is just wonderful. And I need that in my life. Make them, please, somebody.
Right.
Nintendo, I suppose it would have to be, or the Pokemon company. Get on that.
God, yeah.
I mean, you'll charge me 120 quid for it, no doubt, but...
But whatever.
Yeah, especially if you leave the cable where it is.
Okay, yeah. You pay extra to get the classic cable position.
Can you it make just it adds a little bit... That wouldn't be anywhere near as good. This thing's incredible.
Now, Bob Beach is saying that we'd have to pay him to buy one. And my response to that is good. That means that there's less demand from you for this. Therefore, it will be easier for the rest of us to get one.
I'm with Bob.
Good. That means it'll be even easier for Rich and me to get one of these.
Come on, yeah. Tom.
I have to admit, I didn't know what Pikachu was either. I'm just playing along.
Yeah, but now you do.
Now I do. Yep. I'm more well-educated now. Thank you.
And so, now... You know,
retirement might be a great time to start working your way through the delights of Pokemon games.
That's right. Yeah. You got to catch them all.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Exactly.
So what happens if someone comes along with a mobile phone and goes, got it?
I've seen Pokemon people then going around.
They'll level town. Up, and then it charges an iPad.
So, Pokemon's been how long has Pokemon been around now? 3-4 years?
Since
25, 30 years.
But I mean, the phone game, the AR game.
Oh, that's like 5 or 6 years now, I think, at this point.
No, it's longer than that.
Yeah.
It's definitely longer than that. I remember when I first retired, I was wandering around my local area looking for things, and there was stuff all about.
Yeah, maybe 2014, then those guys in the white coat showed up and said, come along,
yeah.
Right?
It was on the railway.
Yeah.
Were you actually playing Pokemon at the time, Muller, or just wandering?
I had a little play with it, but it was crap. I just got rid of it. I was walking 5 miles a day and finding low powered ones, and that you had to capture them and throw these balls at them. And then, you know,
but the key thing was you were walking 5 miles a day. So well done.
Well, yeah, but I was also throwing imaginary balls at imaginary creatures in the middle of the street. And people going, what the hell are you doing?
This is, see, it's not a proper Pokemon game. You need to sit at home and play in your own home. Stop walking around. And those things caused so much chaos when it came out, with the people at Auschwitz having to phone Nintendo and say, dudes, seriously, not here. Not cool.
I remember stories
and
about
other
that.
Things yeah. like that. It was, yeah, there were a few of those. Like, you can't do that here. It's this or a church or something. People are ruining Sunday service.
Oh, I should have gone into a church. I didn't think of that.
Well, you can still download the game and get back into it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that fun note, Tom, where can people find you?
That's a good question. Now that I'm retired, I guess in the Slack room is probably the best place to find me. Maybe LinkedIn. I occasionally still looked at LinkedIn.
Okay. Those are both good answers. Rich, where can people find you?
I'm everywhere. So I'm at Barking on Twitter, Early Morning Barking on Instagram and Facebook, and Early Morning Barking on YouTube as well, and Patreon, and probably some other things as well.
Awesome. All right. And Muller, where can people find you?
I'm on Facebook, Muller Biker. I'm all of them, Muller Biker, but I'm going to be on TV very soon. So come on, look.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing your IMDb entry.
Well, I've already been on TV twice this year.
Okay, so
Crime
are
Watch,
you in IMDb?
I don't think, actually. I was on, I think, what was it called? Basically, where they bring old things to a show.
Antiques
Roadshow. The
Walking Dead. Someone ask how much you were worth on the Antiques Roadshow.
Well, I was worth stuff all, mate. but it was cool to be there.
Awesome. I just realized I didn't tell anyone where to find the chat room, because I have this thing where I absolutely rely on Patrice to make that happen. So hold on, people. We're going to try and get through this together. All right. So if you want to see what's going on in our live chat after the show, then you can do that, because the live chat is happening during the show. You can find the live chat when it's really happening. Just go to BritishTechNetwork.com, and then, like, when you click the watch live thing, there's a button there, and that'll get you to the live chat. After the fact, go to I brought up a page earlier, so I remember this. BritishTechNetwork.com/chat. Click on the day for the episode that you want to check out, and then you'll find the listing for that episode, and you click on that, and you'll see all the things that we have said in the chat room. You'll see the links that we have as well. And as always, remember, don't click on links that Mueller puts in. You'll live to regret it. Anyhow, well, except for his article and which we don't have this week, but his cool thing is okay. So anyhow, click with caution. All right. And now that I managed to stumble my way through that, wow, thank you to all of you for being here. You're absolutely awesome. Tom, I hope that we didn't scare you off and that you'll be cool joining us again, because it's actually nice to have someone that really knows their stuff. And, well, that's you.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. Thank you. It was fun.
This is absolutely fun. And Mueller, I'm going to give you a shout out too, because you do a lot of stuff behind the scenes to make sure we actually have people for all the episodes. So thank you for doing that. And it's nice to see you upright and well enough to join us on the show. So welcome back. And as long as I'm calling everyone out, Rich, thank you for wearing awesome shirts and just being awesome in general.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure.
Awesome. All right. Thank you to everyone for watching and being here with us as the show happens and being part of the chat room. For those of you that tune in and watch or listen at your leisure, thank you for being part of this as well. All of you that are part of the BTN family, you absolutely rock. So thank you for being here. Also, a shout out to TSO Host. Thank you for being our sponsor and helping us actually bring shows to you every week and giving us that space we need to host files for you. Give them a shout out on social media. Thank you to TSO Hosts. And Patrice, get better. And wow, did I actually get through all the stuff that we needed to say here at the end? I think we kind of did. All right. So don't forget to tune in next week for the big show again. Tomorrow's Mac show is kind of up in the air because we might be having some scheduling issues with that. So it's a crapshoot. Maybe we have a Mac show tomorrow. Maybe we don't, but we will have one next week for sure. And check out the photo show because that's always a blast. And you get to learn cool things about taking photographs with whatever kind of camera you want to use. And check out the Daily News show as well, because that's just an awesome, great little way to stay on top of the tech world without having to invest a lot of time. And thanks again to everyone. And we will see you again next week.